You know, it's really true. I've known Harvey for a long time. I don't know, over 20 years we've been together, and his sincerity has never been, it's never faltered in all those years. And I appreciate when you share with us, Harvey, about whatever, anything you share about, I think is important to us. And what was the first song we sang in worship? I'm sorry, what?
What I see?
Oh, there's another song we did. I'll tell you this. I can't remember. There was a line in that song that I believe is a prophetic line. It was like the song that we stole from the United Pentecostal Church. Waymaker, that song, right? Yeah, we stole that song from them. It's a great song. I mean, we didn't steal it. It's out there everywhere. Because he is the waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. And as we were singing that song, and I know it's vacation time, people are traveling, all this, but I thought about this today, and I believe this is a word for you. Maybe for every one of us, I don't know. But, you know, 2,000 years ago, there was, on the darkest day in the history of the world, right, there was one person who stood up and said, "You're a way maker. You're the promise keeper." No matter what was going on in the world, Jesus Christ stood alone. Amen. No one stood with him. And he believed in the promises of God. Took it to the ultimate test. And today I believe that when we're at worship, whether there's a packed house or a handful, God just needs one person that'll stand up and say, "No matter what's going on, you are waymaker." And Jesus didn't do that for himself. His declaration, his step of faith, his trust in the Father is why we're all here today. I'm telling you, you standing by yourself singing those songs will have impact on people that aren't here. And I maybe family, maybe people you care about, maybe people in another part of the world. Jesus did that. And I, you know, those of us, we would love to say, "Well, if I'd have been there with Jesus, I'd have stood with him." He didn't need you then. Now he's seated in heaven on a throne. He needs us now to stand up and sing Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. He is God. And this morning, I believe what God is doing in our lives, a lot of that is challenging our faith. Like, it's easy to sing a song when you're in unity with 1,000 other people and there's so much energy in the room and it's real. And it's real. That's true. How much more when Jesus did that alone that day 2,000 years ago? He stood up and said, "Promise keeper. Promise keeper. I trust you. I trust you." And he didn't do it for himself. He did it for us. Your trust, your faith, your belief in God today impacts the world. And that's who we are, right? And we've been talking about the gospel and the resurrection. I love talking about Easter, and I think we could do that forever. Because when I look at the Jesus' death on the cross set the captives free. He paid the ransom. He was a propitiation. That was true. His resurrection provided us life today and forever. And guys, it's a place in our lives where we can connect with God. And that's why I keep showing this as a background, that thing that Camille drew for me, because it's so true. Your whole life, the destiny, the future of this world depends upon you connecting with him. Because something supernatural happens when God inhabits man. That's why Jesus could do what he did. He was a fully man. But he was a man who never lost connection with the Father. Today, because of him, we can connect with God too. And it is the source of life. Not just for you, but for everybody else. So this morning, I'm still talking about the shame-free gospel, but I love what Brother Chico, Chris Atchison, shared with us last week. If you didn't hear it, if you weren't here, be sure and listen to that. He's been a missionary down in Mexico in those mountains for over 20 years. We've been in relationship with him for that whole time, and we've watched him grow like an oak tree. and how his tree is spreading and it's impacting thousands of people in Mexico and us. And what he shared last week was so raw and real and powerful. And he referred to himself as a thug because he was that. But now he's a son of God. So I want you to listen to that. But I want to talk about something. Pastor Mohan's coming in a few weeks. And I want to get ready for him coming. And I think Chico coming was a big deal and step for this. So here's what I want to talk about today. Mark 1:14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The time is here. It's now. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. You know, I think we read that and we bought into a lie that didn't come from Jesus. He said the kingdom is now. It's here. It's on earth. It's starting with me. And the truth is, it is now, but it's now and never goes away. And he said, you don't have to wait. And there's good news in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is near. Then he said these really very powerful words. He said, repent and believe the good news. Do you know that your very life hinges upon that? The destiny of your family hinges on this? That this is what releases the power of God in the world today? Is when we encounter the kingdom and we repent and we believe the good news. Now, repent. Metanoeo, remember? That's a Greek word. I talk about it often because we were tricked by certain people in history that redefined repent. That word actually means metanoeo. It means to change your mind. That's what that means. It has nothing to do with groveling. It has nothing to do with beating yourself up. It's changing your mind. It's almost like if you go to a professional golfer and he's going to show you how to go hold, and all you've ever done your whole life is play baseball. Well, how do you hold a baseball bat? You hold it like this, and you bring it up here. And he wants to teach you how to play golf. He's a professional, and he's going to take your little grubby hands and he's going to force you to do this. Or something. I don't know how to play golf, but something like that. Not this, this. And you're going to want to do this because that's all you've ever known. But you know what? It would behoove you to change your mind. Repent. Believe your coach. Change your mind. You know, it's like in a family. If you're extremely good at this painting and your spouse is extremely good at laying concrete, well, you may want to listen to each other and get a house built, right? Change your mind, repent. That's what repent means. So when Jesus said this, he was saying, listen, the kingdom's here. You need to change the way you think. And you need to line your thinking up with me. That's why the scripture is so important to us. That's why we still read the scripture 2,000 years later after Mark wrote this simple little sentence. He wrote down, he heard Jesus say this. Holy Spirit prompted Mark to write it in this letter. Repent. Repent. Change your mind. Think like God thinks. All that word means. And it's a powerful word. Now, believe. Repent and believe the good news. You know, stop thinking the way man thinks. And believe the way God thinks. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's real simple. And it's all empowered by the Holy Spirit. You don't even have to do anything. You know, so often we talk about repentance and we talk about changing the behavior without dealing with the why behind the behavior. And so it's powerless. Because God doesn't work that way. He wants you to think the way He thinks. And when you align yourself with Him, when you connect with Him, His power will change your behavior. Amen. Don't get it backwards. We were just tricked, really. Here's how man thinks. Here's the way we think naturally. I have to fix myself. I have to change this behavior. I have to stop doing this and I have to start doing that. I have to try harder. I have to work for everything I own. That's how man thinks. That's how Eve thought in the garden. Satan said, hey, Eve, you want to be like God? Eat from this tree so you'll know what to do and what not to do. That's logical. What does logical mean? That means the way man thinks. Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Believe. Faith. Trust me. You see, it's not the way man thinks. God wants us to think the way he thinks, and that's to live by faith. And you see, we think God is like this horrible, angry judge, disconnected from people, that has this extreme wrath and anger. That's not the way Jesus thinks. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You see, that's what Jesus is talking about. So he said, here's how the kingdom of God. You know what the kingdom of God is? It's everything you've ever dreamed of and you can't dream of, the scriptures say. It's love and joy and peace and fulfillment and destiny and purpose and equality. And even better than equality. You know what the Bible says? God says, here's what equality looks like in the kingdom. If you have too much, give to the people who don't have enough. It's not just equal. You give, like Harvey read. It's more blessed to give. And that's the way God thinks. And that's the kingdom of God. You see, the power of God is released in the people who believe the good news. Believe the good news. Well, wait, isn't it released in the people who come to church? Who tithe? Who, you know, isn't that who gets the blessings, right? The people who do more or don't do worse? That's not what Jesus said. You and I have a problem. We want to think the way the world thinks, and Jesus wants us to repent, to think the way he thinks. So this is the big deal. Alan, do you mean people's lives will be changed if they choose to believe the good news of the gospel? Yeah. That's too simple. Well, it is simple, but I don't want to use that terminology when I'm talking to the Father. That implies that I know better than him. Well, God, I wouldn't do it that way. I have a hard time with that. I mean, even most of the time I don't understand him, but I'm not going to argue. Well, okay, I do argue with him. I'm not going to assume I'm right and he's wrong. Ever. Even when I'm arguing. You see, it's like the power of God is released in people. Jesus walked in power on earth. If you read your New Testament and the Old Testament, Jesus' power was released in his life because he believed. He accessed by faith the grace of God, the power of God. The Holy Spirit worked through Jesus because he believed. That's what Jesus did his whole life. He said, guys, this is how you do it. He showed us for 3 years how to do it. His entire life was that way. I want to ask you a question. Thank you, Camille. My granddaughter just sent me a text because she knows I can't hear well, and I wasn't understanding. Waymaker, I got it. Thank you. You can text me while I'm preaching, and I'll probably see it. I may not acknowledge it, but I'll probably see it. And that way I have excuses for when I mess up and get thrown off. Right? It's like, it's y'all's fault. It's not my fault. Right? I love taking responsibility for stuff. His resurrection, you see, that's the good news. That's the good news. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever experienced the power of God in your life? I want you to think about it now. Think about a time when you've experienced the power of God. I've got an example of it. His daughter had a wedding in here yesterday. Dan, that's his name, Dan. Dan, where's he at? He's at the door. Would you, Patrick, yell at Dan. He's at the back door? Dan Langstaff. He actually told me he was going to be at the back door. I thought that meant in here at the back door. Dan, would you come up here and share with us how you experienced the power of God? You had an experience, right? Come on, Dan. You're famous. Besides a daughter, one of your daughters got married here yesterday. It was perfect. Jennifer Hughes did the ceremony. And did you sing? Thank God. Okay. You know how to turn that thing on? But on purpose, that's true. Tell us. Is it green?
You're good. Hello.
Bam.
So, Friday, I was going through some things, you know, thinking about this, thinking about that. A lot of things were just coming at me at once. And I'm getting a little frustrated and a little aggravated, you know. But there was this cricket that was in my house. Of course, I was... The dogs were playing with it, and cats were trying to get it, and I was trying not to step on it. So I'm getting this cricket. I'm trying to pick this cricket up, and it kept moving and squiggling. And I just said the silliest thing to him. I said, "Be still, cricket. I'm trying to save you." Amen. And at the same time, God comes right back and says, "That's what I've been trying to tell you, Dan. Be still. I'm trying to save you."
Yeah, come on, Dan. Yeah, good idea. Be still. No, get down. Go down, be still. Come on. You see, that's how we live. It's a big deal to have experiences with God, not just in church, not just, you know, all the time. Listen. I mean, if you ever looked at Dan's fingers, you know why that cricket's life was in danger. He's a carpenter. He has banana fingers. You know, he can't pick them up without crushing the poor things. And I don't know why he didn't want to kill the cricket, but you be you, right? I'll be me, and I kill crickets. So his resurrection is the life we tap into by faith. By faith. So... When it's hard to worship and you worship by faith and say, "God, you are the way maker," that releases the resurrection power of God into your life and through your life into the world. And that's what Chico was telling us about last week. He was telling us, "This is how I live. A thug from the streets of McAlmont who gave his life to Jesus, who discovered how to tap into the power of God. Now, 30 years after his gang, whatever, days, he's walking the streets, he's living life and impacting people all around the world. Amen. Just being himself. It's not hard. It's faith, right? So all the time. So I want you to think about that. How are you encountering God through the week? Are you intentionally encountering Him? Are you developing a lifestyle that encounters Him? You know, we used to say it this way. I told you before, we used to have in the Baptist church I was in, we had envelopes where if you read your Bible every day, you got to check it. And then we kept a record and we kept a chart and everybody knew who got the gold stars and who didn't. And if you tithed, you got to check it. And if you visited somebody that week, you got to check it. And if you prayed every day, you got to check it. And we track that stuff because we want you to have encounters with God. And we tried to manipulate, and that's not really true. We tried to help encourage you to do it by keeping up with it so you would have some feedback. Well, the truth is, I didn't know back then that the feedback is supernatural. You don't need my feedback. Dan, did you know when God spoke to you? Made you feel different, didn't it? You weren't near as grumpy as you were I saw him that same day. I was like, he was a little grumpy. He was like, but he had a wedding going on. There's a lot of stress in his life. But the truth is, when you have encounters with Jesus, you change. Amen. So are you doing that? Are you arranging times where you experience his presence? Whether it's reading your Bibles, giving, serving, helping, quiet, worship music, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It looks different in everybody. What matters is that that becomes a reality in your life. Because you know what? I love this. Most of you have lost somebody you care about, right? I'm old enough, I've lost a lot of people. And sometimes it hurts real bad to lose somebody. Sometimes it's you just miss them. Sometimes it takes your legs out from underneath you and it's like getting hit in the gut, right? I was talking to somebody the other day, a lady, who her dad had died. And she's an adult, but she can't get over it. It's killing her. Her dad had been that person her whole life, and she grew up in a lot of chaos, a lot of trouble, a lot of trauma. But her dad was that always there person, that rock, that stability, that would look at her and tell her it's going to be okay and mean it. And she lost him over a year ago. She lost him. And she just can't, she just doesn't, it, you know? I mean, you know, if you've lost somebody like that, you know, it hurts. And the pain wouldn't go away. You know, they give you this prescription for how to get over, how to grieve properly. That works for about 1 out of 100 people. It doesn't work for everybody. Now, you know, you guys know, I believe that just like you and me, and just like what Dan told us, he wasn't feeling so good until that Jesus spoke to him through that cricket, but he had an encounter with Jesus. I knew this lady just needed to have an encounter with Jesus. And so we're just talking, and I'm asking God to take us there. Jesus, in my mind, I'm like, Jesus, we need you. We need you. Jesus, would you come to her? And so I asked the Lord to take her back to recent, like that week, the day before or something, when she had been feeling that broken heart really bad. And I hate to take her there because she feels it again. She's crying, which, you know. And then I said, Jesus, would you come to that, her? And he did. He came. Do y'all know what he did? I'm not telling. It was good. It was good. I'm just saying. I'll tell you what he did. He came, and somehow she knew in her heart. He said her name. He said, honey, every time you had that experience, that relationship with your father, he said, that was me in your dad. And she's like, oh. And then Jesus said, I haven't gone anywhere. And she got healed. Because in her heart, she got healed because of an encounter with Jesus. He opened her eyes to see the truth. And it changed her. And she's free today. You see, she had to change her mind and see differently. She thought she would never have that again. You see, Jesus spoke to the people in John chapter 8, verse 12. He said these words, I am the light of the world. What does that mean for you? Salvation can mean every area of life. Jesus said, I'm that. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know that never walk in darkness term literally means to be pushed or driven by darkness. It's not a sterile term. He said, if you follow me, darkness will not be pushing you around and jerking your chain. You see, the pain you feel in your life, the addictions you have, the problems you have, those mountains we go around and round and round and round, it's not because we're dumb, it's not because we're unintelligent, it's not because we're not trying, it's not because you're not sincere, it's because there's a darkness that's a real active entity in your world and in my world that is involved in our lives. And the only way to be free from darkness is to follow the light. Dang, I'm smart. No, I read the Bible. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'm the light of the world. And those areas in your life where the enemy's still jerking your chain, I can remove that from you. Like with that lady, she was free from the pain of losing her dad. Did her dad come back alive? No, thank God, because he'd be way deteriorated by now, right? That was a joke. I guess it didn't come over that good. But no. But the enemy can't pull her chain anymore in that area of her life. There was a place where she was a lover of Jesus, but there was a spot in her heart where she needed to be transformed, renewed. You see, in your life and my life today, there's any place in your life where you're still fighting a battle, any place I'm still fighting, it's because there's somewhere where I haven't lined up with Him yet. Because when you walk in the light, the darkness, you know, I wrote down some statements about that this is the same verse out of the Passion Translation, you know. So in your life, if this is such a big deal, what does following Jesus look like in your life? I hate to ask you that. I'm serious. I'm dog serious. Think of your day. Tomorrow's Monday. What does following Jesus look like for you tomorrow? Unfortunately, for a lot of us, we get so busy and we're so segmented in our life that it looks like nothing. Because I'm just going to get up, I'm going to do my job, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to feed my family, I'm going to blah, 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 and at night I'm exhausted and I'm going to do something to numb my mind and numb my feelings, and I'm going to go to, I wouldn't say go to sleep, but for most of us, it's pass out in a coma. Well, how did you follow Jesus in a day like that? How are you with Him when your day is that busy, or when you're overwhelmed, or when the world's standing against you? You know, I really liked what Dan said, because you know how you do it? If you quit jumping around, I'll save you. Amen. Jesus is just waiting for us to acknowledge Him. Amen. By faith. Jesus, I'm doing this. Would you do it with me? And by faith, believe He is now. Even if you don't feel it or hear it or see it, it's faith. And that's how you connect with God. And so, how do you experience God on a daily basis? You know, here's something I believe it says that. And I really do. That may be the most important question you ever answer. Really. What does it look like for you to follow Jesus? Did you do what we get pushed into believing, that getting saved is a one-time decision and a one-time act, and that guarantees, that's our life insurance, really, whatever, for heaven. I got saved. Well, how are you following Jesus? I got saved. I understand what you say. For you, saved is past tense. For Jesus, it's always present tense. And it really is. In the Scripture, it's present tense. With no determination of its conclusion, is how they say it in those fancy dictionaries. It's a decision that you never terminate. You see, and that's how we live. And so the more you can live like that, the more you submit and you yield your mind and your heart to Him, your life may look exactly the same, but your faith is in Him, the Waymaker. And not in your own self-effort and your intelligence and your whatever, right? And so this is really how it goes. We get saved. Now, I wrote this down. I wasn't being mean, but I was typing, right? I said, use your head. I wrote that for you guys. And for me, think, how do you see salvation? Was it a one-time act, or is it a current life and a relationship? You know, did you know, because Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, that if you are following Him, it's impossible for the darkness to control you? Now, I wrote it this way because it's what I really mean is this. Every area of my heart where I'm following Him, darkness loses the chain, the hook, the button. It can't push my buttons there. But the Bible said our whole lives, while we're alive, we are continually being transformed by the renewing of our minds until we get to heaven. So there's always somewhere in your life where you're still disconnected from Him. His progress, the process, is to expose those, and then I connect. And He exposes it, then I connect. I repent. I choose to think like Him. And it's a process that goes on our whole lives. Jesus said it this way, he who says he's without sin is a liar, and there's no truth in him. Because there's always somewhere I'm not thinking like God. And that's true. And I wanted that to continue. I want to be with Him because I found out something with Jesus. He's joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. He's all the gifts of the Spirit and all the fruit of the Spirit. I want to be there. I like being happy. I like being alive. I like having something to give. And it comes from Him. So is it important that we follow Him? You see, when you look at Scripture and you look at what saved really means, the metaphors that Jesus used to communicate to us what salvation looks like were things like, He is the air I breathe. Well, how often do you need air? I have pretty bad lungs now. You know, used to I could hold my breath for like a whole minute. Now it's like 15 seconds. Sometimes I'm drinking and I don't get a whole glass anymore. I've got to stop breathing. You need air a lot. It's a continual process for our human bodies. How often do you need to eat? Well, some of us, it's like every 15 to 20 minutes. I don't know. He's the air. How much blood do you need? You need it in your life to live. You see, the metaphors Jesus used weren't one and done. They were a continuous process of relationship that we live by faith, empowered by the grace of God. And that's what we're talking about. So, what does it look like to be saved? It looks like a predisposition to submit to God. That's the closest I could think of. I have decided that when I get confronted by the Holy Spirit about some area of truth, or I feel led by Him, when I confront Him, I've already decided I am going to go with His idea. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to do it, but that is my decision, because sometimes it's a process. But I have a predisposition to follow Jesus wherever He goes. To try and follow Him. That's what salvation looks like. Once you make that decision, you begin abiding in the vine. You begin experiencing life. So it changes how I talk about salvation, which is really where I'm headed that I'm not going to get to today. But it's going to change how I talk about it. Because it's like, Jesus set us free when He died. Completed, once, done, finished. You were set free so that you could follow Him. Amen. Now, or not follow Him. That's what I believe. It's good news. Humanity was total captivity to Satan up until the day that Jesus died on the cross. And when He died on the cross, what was impossible to do the day before was now possible for all of humanity. Anyone in the world, any time in history, can turn to Jesus. Because that's how powerful what He did when He died. Now, our life is to live in the resurrection. which is the power of God that raised him from the dead. That's what the scriptures say. Now, it looks like this. Submission is an ongoing process. It's a journey. It's a relationship. It's like a child. I hope that no two-year-old is going to absolutely decide to not follow their parents anymore. Thank goodness. They'll do that, but they won't do it forever. It's part of that process, right? Submission is not becoming a robot. It's a decision. I am going to submit to you, Jesus, when I am. But I'm not a robot, Lord. We're going to have to do this together. Oh, you know that's all he ever wanted? Did you catch that? You can't submit to him on your own. You can only submit to him doing it with him. His power is what releases something inside of me so that now I can submit to him where I couldn't before. You see, it's all grace. It's all God. God gets all the credit. He's everything. I love this. Submission, it's not becoming a robot. It's the unique merging of God and you. Every time by faith. When I was singing that song, Waymaker, History Maker song, I was believing that I was, by my believing in him and me standing and declaring that his life was going to spread around me in this region, in people I care about, in the church, in the body of Christ. I believe that's true. I believe that light is going to spread. And God merged with me when I made that decision. The Holy Spirit that Jesus released inside of us, God inside of you, Christ in you, is the hope of glory. I believe that happens. So today, when you stand and sing, when you read your scriptures, when you pray, when you serve, when you give, when you do all of those things you do by faith, when you respond to God, I believe that the light of God, his glory, is being expressed in the world through you. And the harder it is for you to do it, the more glory gets expressed. Jesus is my example. All by himself, he made a decision to trust his dad. The only one in the world who had any light was Jesus. But his light is flowing into us today. He said, I'm the light of the world. Those who embrace me, those who have a relationship with me, those who commune with me, those who abide in me, will experience life-giving light. You want your life to change? Abide in him. You want a city to change? Abide in him. You want the seniors in high school to get saved? Abide in him. You want the world to abide in him. You know, I really do like this. This is the really truth. Jesus, he's the fire, and we're the candles. And when we merge with him and he reaches over and he touches us, that light spreads. So what's the good news? The light of God, the same light that was in Jesus, is in you. And by faith, every time you come into relationship with him, he lights another fire. And we become a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. That's our destiny. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. Jesus said, I've come to share the good news. That's the good news. And guys, we're going to focus on that for a few weeks and sharing the good news. How do you and me share the good news? Jesus said that. This is why I've come, to share the good news. And it really is good news. And we'll go into more details about that later. But I think it's really true. I think this morning communion was set up. Dana said, eat it all. Usually they don't let us eat it. It's usually wax and plastic. No, it's not really. It's the good stuff. But today there's bread, there's cheese, there's grape juice. And I believe today as much as you want of God, you can have. Amen. You can have. It's for all who believe. So this morning, I believe that there's people we're fighting battles for. And that's good. That's good. All you have to do is take a step of faith. And sometimes everything Jesus did, every bit of faith he had, was followed by an action. It's like James says, you can't separate the two. Show me your works, I'll show you my faith. Show you my faith, it shows you works. Faith requires a movement of some kind. And it could be a movement up here. It could be a movement in your heart. It could be a movement, I don't know. It could be taking communion. Maybe you've already done it today, but you didn't do it believing that God was going to light the fire. Listen, we need a fire. Amen. This world needs light. I need light. If you admitted it, you need light too. So let's all stand up. Jesus, I just thank you that you came to light a fire. That God, you came to start a war, but a war that brings life. So God, I just ask that every area in our lives where we're not thinking the way you think, we already to decide to agree with you, God. So God, I pray for my life and for everyone in here and everyone listening online, our friends and our family, that you would give us the courage to confront the belief systems and the thoughts we have that aren't lined up with yours. God, I ask that this light, when we stand and we choose to proclaim you as the light of the world, the way maker, the promise keeper, God, when we stand and we do that, God, I just pray that you would move in power. The same way when Jesus stood all alone that night. And at the very end, he still trusted you. And God, I just thank you. Give us that kind of faith to believe that when we stand, you change the world. Jesus, we love you. This morning, maybe you decided to get saved, but you didn't decide to follow. Like you've been living with your promise from a long time ago, but Jesus is like, you're missing the life now. There's life for you. There's life you've never experienced that God wants you to have. Follow him. It'll be the best life you'll ever live. If you're here this morning and you found yourself going around that vicious circle, something in your life that you just can't get free from, you're not bad, you're not weak, you're not stupid. There's a reason why. And this morning, these guys would like to pray with you and help you discover why. If you want to decide to follow Jesus today, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to help you in that journey, you know. And it's a good journey. So I appreciate you coming. And next week when we're worshiping, remember you're not just making faith declarations to God for yourself. You're changing your family and you're changing this place. You're changing the world. Amen. So God bless you guys. Thank you for coming this morning. You're dismissed.